Morgan, one of my favorite authors, and he has studied the 12 strength passages in the Bible and written about them with his wonderful style of exposition and illustration. His wife contributes a little bit to each chapter, and she has some incredible insights that go along with Rob's exposition. We want you to have this book, and here's how you can get your copy. Just send a gift of any size to Turning Point during this month. September is an important month for us, and when you send your gift, we want to send to you this book, The Strength You Need. You must ask for the book. Simply send your gift and in the letter say, please send me the book, The Strength You Need, and we will be happy to do it. It will bless you, I promise you. I've read it, underlined it, and I recommend it. Well, let's get back to our courage. Courage when faith deserts you. Our passage is Romans chapter 8. Open your Bibles and let's study together.
Martin Lloyd-Jones is a wonderful writer and student of the Word of God, says we are not simply enabled by His love to hold on and not to fall away and not to falter. Neither is it the case that we just manage to obtain a victory. We are more than conquerors. It's a very strong expression. The Christian is not a man who manages somehow or another just to obtain an entrance into heaven. He is more than a conqueror. He not merely stands up to these trials. He demolishes them. He is able to overcome them completely. He doesn't just conquer them. He more than conquers them. And let us not forget that death is included. Everything that can possibly come against us is included. We are more than conquerors. Why? Well, look down and see what it says. Yet in these things we are more than conquerors because we are courageous, because we've got it all together, because we know what to know. We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. The power of God's love is that which gives us the ability to walk through the things that might make us feel like our faith has deserted us. And in the midst of it, we look up and we remember what God has said and our strength returns. And in those troubles, we become a testimony to all of the watching world who they don't understand how you can go through what you're going through. And you have to tell them it's because of the Lord. Well, what does that mean? Well, I don't know how to explain it except my God loves me and my Lord loves me and He's in the midst of all of this and He strengthens me and He helps me through this. That's one of the reasons why God trusts us with trouble, why He trusts us with difficulty. Well, you see, the glory of it all, men and women, is that in the midst of all of that, you and I become victorious. We climb on the bumps and we go up because of the success of God's love for us. He loves us so much that He enables us in the midst of our difficulty. It's very interesting that in this passage of Scripture, Paul speaks of us as sheep. If you go back to the Psalm 44:22 quote in verse 37, he tells us that we are sheep. He says, for this sake, we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. And then in the next verse, he tells us that we have become conquerors. Now, I got to tell you something. There's a disconnect between a conquering sheep. Have you ever thought about that? If you want to know the reason why I'm convinced of that, we have the Rams in the NFL, but we have never had the sheep. You know, we have never had the sheep in the NFL. Now, we have had some teams that could have easily been called the sheep, and it wouldn't have been a disconnect at all, and I won't go there. But Paul says, we're conquering sheep. This, of course, is figurative language, but the image is not meaningless. It is not ludicrous. In contrast to the world and its power, Christians are indeed weak and despised. They are helpless as a flock of sheep, but they are in fact conquerors because they have been loved by the Lord Jesus Christ and they have been made conquerors through Him. The thing that is so amazing to people who watch a believer go through difficult times is that on the exterior we seem weak and feeble, but there's a strength within that no one can understand. When Paul talks about these things, he's referring to all the things that have been listed in the past section and all the things he's about to enumerate. And he makes it very clear that this conquest is due to God's love for us. The love of God and the love of Christ are one. And God's love for us is the centerpiece, as you know, from this whole chapter. The Bible speaks of us as being victorious, not being defeated. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, "Thanks be to God who gives us the victory." How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 2:14, "Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph." How? In Christ. 1 John 5:4, "Whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith." We are overcomers. We are, hey, we're super sheep. How about that? We're super sheep. And you're ready to go and meet the challenges of the day. Amen? All right, let's look at the third one and the last one. We take courage from the strength of Christ's love. We take courage from the success of Christ's love. Notice, thirdly, we take courage from the safety of Christ's love. Now watch what Paul is saying here. "For I am persuaded," he said, "that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Now let's pick this apart and unpack it for a moment and see what it says. The phrase "I am persuaded" is in the perfect tense in the language of the New Testament, and it could be translated like this: "I have become and I remain convinced." Paul is saying, "I have become and I remain convinced of these truths." There's a big difference between knowing something and being convinced of it, isn't there? I mean, in our heads we know that God will take care of us, but are we convinced of that? We underline it in our Bibles. We put it in our notebook, you know, "God will take care of me." But when you're in the midst of the soup and everything's coming unglued, it is only after you've been through that and you come out on the other side that you can say with Paul, "I am convinced that this is true." One of the great blessings for me, and there were some, of my experiences with cancer was the ability for me to stand before my congregation and say, "Folks, everything I have been preaching to you for 20 years is true. And it is true, not only because it's in the Word of God, but because it works. Hear me carefully. God is enough." He's enough. Amen? He's enough. Now watch. Watch what Paul is teaching us here. He is not saying all this simply because he happens to have a particular feeling about this. He's not just hoping against hope. What he says is, "I am certain." It is interesting to note that he puts this in the passive voice. It means, "I am persuaded." And what that means in the language of the New Testament is that the persuasion wasn't his own doing. It was done on the part of someone else, and he benefits from it. "I have become persuaded because of all of these things." Does not persuade himself, but he is persuaded by the love of God. And to make his point, he gives us another grocery list of 10 things which could possibly become a barrier between us and Christ. And he tells us that God's love protects us in all of these situations. Now I'm going to take them carefully, and we're just going to look at them quickly, and you're going to find yourself in some of these paragraphs. Watch. Nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. First, not the crisis of death, nor the calamities of life. Neither death nor life, says Paul. Paul was not frightened by death. He knew that Christ had eliminated death's power for those who were in Christ. 2 Timothy 1:10 says, "Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." Paul knew that death wasn't capable of hurting him. It was the shadow of death. Death was only the translation for Paul out of the challenges of his life and into the presence of God. He actually said one time, "For me to die is gain." In other words, this is an advantage. Paul wasn't afraid of death. Death couldn't touch him. And he wasn't afraid of life either. Some people say that you get to a point in your life where life's harder than death. I don't know if any of you are there yet. I hope not, but it can be true. And for a believer, sometimes death would be the easier route than living your life under the pressure of tyranny, like some of the people who have been persecuted for their faith around the world. More people have lost their life for their faith in the time you and I have been living than in all of the time prior to that in the history of the world. Most people don't understand that. And for people like that, who are under severe persecution, for them life is hard, death would be easy. What Paul is saying is, "I am convinced that not the crisis of death nor the calamities of life can ever separate me from God's love. Secondly, he says, not the intervention of angels nor the intrusion of demons. Neither angels nor principalities or powers. Many writers believe that he's talking here about evil angels. And I don't know if you believe in evil angels, but if you don't believe in them, you need to read your Bible. Because the Bible teaches that there are evil angels. We call them demons. And there's a whole network of them. And they're doing a pretty good work as far as you look today in their own domain. They're creating all kinds of stress and difficulty in our world. And I've been overwhelmed and amazed at how much of the literature and the arts have moved progressively toward satanic involvement and demonic involvement. I never thought I would ever turn on the television where there would be a whole sitcom devoted to demonic activity and all of this sort of thing. And Paul says, let me tell you something, you may get caught up in that, you might get intimidated by it, but hear what he says. Not the intervention of angels or the intrusion of demons, neither angels nor principalities can separate you from God's love. You are protected by the love of God. Notice the third one. Not the crisis of death, nor the calamities of life, not the intervention of angels, nor the intrusion of demons, not the cares of today or the concerns of tomorrow. Things present or things to come, he says. This is a concern along the horizontal line. Paul says that on the continuum between the present and the future, there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. You say, is that true? Absolutely true. Paul not only is writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he's writing on the basis of his own personal experience in walking with God throughout all of his life. And he is saying, not anything present, not anything future can separate God's love from you or you from God's love. If you go back over Romans chapter 8, you'll discover that the present cannot harm us. Romans 8:31 says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Romans 8:33 says, who can bring a charge against God's elect? Romans 8:34 says, who is he that condemns? And all of those are rhetorical questions. There's no one. There's nobody that can get to you if you're a believer because you're hidden in Christ, in God. How are they going to penetrate that? You are his. And he has surrounded you and encapsulated you in his marvelous love for you as an individual. And nothing in the future can sneak up on you either. Because we are told in the Word of God that Jesus Christ is in complete authority. Matthew says, all authority is given unto him. Just keep mounting the evidence here, my friends. I hope this is building some strength in your spiritual muscles. Not the crisis of death, nor the calamities of life. Not the intervention of angels, nor the intrusion of demons. Not the cares of today, nor the concerns of tomorrow. Not the afflictions from heaven, nor the advances of hell. Neither height nor depth, he says. And this is a concern along the vertical line. If time cannot separate us from God, Paul wants us to know space can't separate us either. We are safe in the arms of God's love. And finally, he ends it all with one masterful statement. Not anything actual or possible. And here's what he says. Nor any other created thing. Now, you might not get the point of that unless you stop and think about this for a moment. Just grab hold of your logic and let me tell you what he's saying. Not any other created thing. Since only God himself is uncreated, everyone else and everything else is created. So this is a comprehensive statement that Paul is making to assure us that nothing is left out of his list. Everything is under the control of God the Creator and of the Lord Jesus Christ, so nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Not any created thing. What is that? That means nothing. Because everything beside God is created. And so nothing can separate us from the love of God. Now, here's your assignment. Every time you begin to think God has forgotten you, you pull out Paul's list and you just go through and check it out and see if you aren't covered under the insurance program. I guarantee you there's no loopholes here. There's no place where you can hide. If you want to know the truth, God's word declares you're covered. Your claim will be paid. God has provided for you in his everlasting love. Nothing in our world seems stable anymore. Insecurity is written all over our human experience. Christian people are not guaranteed immunity to temptation, problems, and tragedy, but we are promised to have victory in the midst of them. And God's pledge is not that suffering will never afflict us, but that it will never separate us from God's love. You're going to hurt. All of us will. You're going to face challenges you don't know what to do with, but we have to remember in the midst of this, you are loved. We sing in our Sunday school growing up, Jesus loves me, this I know. And someone turned it upside down and changed the words and said, Jesus knows me, this I love. That's very truth, isn't it? Jesus knows me, this I love, and Jesus loves me, this I know. Remember, friends, our confidence here is not in our love for Him. That wouldn't bring us a great deal of encouragement, would it? Because our love for Him is frail and fickle and faltering. But His love for us is steadfast and faithful and persevering, and it never, ever ends, nor can we be separated from it if we are in Christ. Some classical poet wrote it this way, let me not more my comfort draw from my frail hold of thee. In this alone rejoice with awe your mighty grasp of me. In other words, the poet says, don't let me take any courage in my ability to love you, Lord, but let me take courage in this truth. You got a hold of me. You got a hold of me, Lord. And in this situation I'm in, this problem I'm facing, this I know, Jesus loves me, and I'm in His care. George Matheson was born in Glasgow, Scotland in 1842. As a child, he had only partial vision, and his sight became progressively worse. This was long before they were able to deal with the sight problems of children, until it resulted in blindness by the time he was 18. But despite his handicap, he was a brilliant student. He studied at the University of Glasgow, and later he graduated from seminary, and he became the pastor of several churches in Scotland, including a large church in Edinburgh, where he was greatly respected and greatly loved. After he had been engaged to a young woman for a short time, one day she came to see him, and she broke the engagement because she said she could not be happy being married to a blind man. George Matheson was crushed. No doubt he wondered where his God was in that painful moment. But he did not wonder for long. This painful disappointment in romantic love led Matheson to write the beautiful song which begins with this stanza, O love, that will not let me go. I rest my weary soul in thee. I give thee back the life I owe, that in thine ocean depths its flow may richer, fuller be. O love, that will not let me go. The love of his girlfriend let him go. As we look around in the world today, relationships are fickle. It's so easy to think you have friends and all of a sudden they do things you can't imagine them doing and they hurt you. And you come back to this truth of Romans 8. You cannot be separated from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. God's love is the love that will not let you go. We could not hold on, but God won't let go. That's why you can be strong. And when your faith starts to waver and you're going through difficulty, you got to stop. Don't say, I need to love God more. No, get in the Word of God and find out how much He loves you. That'll take care of it. That'll remind you how secure you are, how safe you are, and how successful you are in your relationship with God. Brenning Manning tells the story of an Irish priest who was walking on a tour one day out in a rural parish. And he sees an old peasant kneeling by the side of the road. And this old peasant is praying. And the priest was so impressed, he said to the man, you must be very close to God. And the peasant looks up from his prayers, thinks for a moment, and then he smiles and he said, yes, he's very fond of me. He's very fond of me. You know, if we're close to God, it is primarily, first and foremost, because He's very fond of us. We only can love Him because He loves us. The Bible says that when we draw near to God, He draws near to us, but God is the initial one. And oh, how wonderful it is when you're going through stuff, when your faith is a little shaky, to remember, if you don't remember anything else, remember this: God is very fond of you. He loves you with an everlasting love. It's a love so strong, nothing can separate it. It's a love so strong that you are safe in the midst of it. And that's the story of Romans 8. God is very fond of us. His love will see us through the darkest night, and His love will be the shining sun that greets us in the morning. And the question you have to ask yourself today is, do I know that love? Have I accepted the gift of God's love through Jesus Christ in my heart? My friends, I tell you today, if I were not a Christian, I wouldn't want to go forward. I would be discouraged and dismayed and filled with despair. But I am in the hands of a loving God. And I cannot escape. I cannot be separated from His love. And if you do not know God personally through a relationship with Jesus Christ, my strongest message today for you is to say, please, get in the family. It's hard on the outside. When you know God and you know how much He's loved you, not anything that can happen in your life that you and God can't get through together. Because He's so fond of you. He loves you.
You know, I remember reading or hearing someone say something like this, that we should never, ever allow ourselves to judge our relationship with God based upon our love for Him, but always judge that on the basis of His love for us. God loves us. He loves you more than you'll ever know. And if you don't know Him personally, He wants to be a part of your life. He wants to spend eternity with you. And if you will put your trust in Him, He will change you from the inside out. He will cleanse you from your sin and give you a righteousness that only He possesses. But you need to ask, and you can ask wherever you are, simply by praying and asking the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior. See you tomorrow.
For more information on Dr. David Jeremiah's current teaching series, Courage to Conquer, just visit our website, davidjeremiah.org/radio, where we offer two free ways to stay connected to Turning Point: a copy of our monthly magazine, Turning Points, and with our daily email devotional. Sign up today when you log on to our Turning Point website at davidjeremiah.org/radio. That's davidjeremiah.org/radio. Ask for your copy of Robert J. Morgan's book, The Strength You Need, The 12 Great Strength Passages of the Bible. Yours for a gift of any amount. You can also purchase the Jeremiah Study Bible in standard or large print with thousands of notes and articles from Dr. Jeremiah. Ask about it when you contact us today. This is Mark Larson. Join us tomorrow as we continue the series, Courage to Conquer, on Turning Point with Dr. David Jeremiah.